Welcome to today's online message from Long Eaton Oasis Christian Centre. We are a church at the heart of the community with a heart for the community. And we're so glad that you've joined us. We hope that you'll be inspired and encouraged today. Please don't hesitate to contact us. If you want to find out more, you can visit our website, www.longeatonoasis.co.uk, or you can direct message us.
Good morning, church. Lovely to be here together. And thank you for letting me, they're both gone. Andrew and thank you for letting me have the privilege of speaking today. Summer in the Psalms. I actually love Summer in the Psalms. And if you haven't listened to Ruth's message, you can download it on the site. Adrian and I were away with the girls in Newcastle last week, but we listened to your message. You're beautiful on Psalm 139. Really worth listening to. But Summer in the Psalms, if you don't read the Bible and you're new to reading the Bible, or maybe you've been a Christian a long time and you maybe got a bit cold, reading a psalm is just a beautiful thing. And especially in the summer, I love every summer to start from Psalm 1 and read a psalm a day. They're just beautiful. So I'm going to share today with you Psalm 57, verse 9. It's just Psalm 57. And the key verse that I'm going to take is, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. Awake, my soul, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations." That's Psalm 57, 7 to 9. I'm going to go sleep, rest, and awake. When I was been reading my psalms during the summer, there was quite a few I noticed about rest. That is just my ideal. We've actually got a hammock. I would never video me getting into it because it's quite a challenge, and getting out is even worse. But we've got a hammock in the back of our garden, and I love sitting in it and reading rest. And the Psalms speak a lot about rest. Psalm 3, verse 5, "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me." Psalm 4, verse 8, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." And Psalm 127, verse 2, "He gives sleep to his beloved." And there are loads more, but I'll just pick three. But this is my reality. Put your hand up if any of you have sleepless nights. I know that those are the babies. Okay, so if you fall asleep when I'm speaking, it's because you fell asleep last night. Okay, not because of me speaking. But that is me sometimes, and I have sleepless nights. And I was actually thinking, we were chatting with Adrian and I with some friends, and they'd got a baby, and they were saying that they're sleepless nights. But my sleepless nights, I'll just quickly share them, was when I first left home. That was my first ever sleepless night. I left home when I was 17 and went to Bible college. And it was in the 80s. There was no phones. There was no internet. So there was nothing. I remember sitting there, the reality that I had to do washing to get to stuff, which I'd never done. And it was in Capel. There was like nothing there. If anyone's been to Capel, sorry, like there's nothing. And I remember thinking, what have I done? What am I doing? That was my first sleepless night. So I remember seeing every night, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I got my relationship with God, knowing that he had plans for me to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future at 17. Then obviously we had babies. My next time that I really remember sleepless nights was when we were raising teenagers. The baby, I can't even remember being staying awake. Obviously, we raised babies. But when we had teenagers, I remember one time getting great advice off people that had got teenagers, you know, tell us how to do it. And they say, well, what you do is you give them a choice and you let them decide for themselves. And I thought, that's really good advice. So I used to do that, raising Leanne first and then the others follow, and say, right, well, you could do this, you could do that, and, you know. But then she would make a decision, Sorry, Leanne, you're here. I'll give her one example. There was a prom. Should she go to the prom after prom? And I said, well, you could go, but you've got to think of your testimony, you know, do that. And she would say, well, I think I'm going to go. And I remember going to bed thinking, well, she's got to make a decision. Awake, talk about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I would then wake her up, you're not going. Sleepless nights, worrying about teenagers. Another time of a sleepless night was work. And laying away at work, thinking about my work, what should I do, what I do. And another sleepless night was obviously just recently, when we relive in the memories of what we've just gone through as a family. Sleepless nights, and we're going to be touching on sleepless nights in a little while. But what is sleep? Sleep is a natural state of rest, where the body is inactive and the mind is mostly unconscious. Now, the body, the Bible doesn't tell us to wake our bodies. It tells us to wake our soul. And that's what we... Spiritual sleep is completely different to sleep. The Bible doesn't tell us to wake our bodies. It tells us to wake our souls. And because of my sleepless nights and different things, I thought I'm going to explore this and go a bit deeper, especially in the Psalms. So Psalm 57, verse 1, rest. Now, just to put a bit of background, when David wrote this, it was created during a dangerous time in a cave when he was fleeing from somebody he trusted, King Saul and his army. He was fleeing from them. It was written in a cave. And Psalm 1, 57, verse 1 says, have mercy on me, my God, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Now, David wasn't resting because life was easy. It wasn't the green pastures. It wasn't that time. He was in alone, well, with his army in a cave. And he knew on a refuge is a safe place to rest, a shelter, a protection from danger, trouble, or bad weather, and a source of comfort and rest. Now, I'm dead clever. I've actually had to write down. I went and looked up the meaning of that word, refuge, in the Bible. And it says, minoka. I've probably said it completely wrong. Minuka. But the word there, when he says, God is my refuge, is a safe place to rest, stillness, peace, a shelter, protection from danger, a source of comfort and rest. Now, this picture, it says peace in the midst of the storm. So when David was in that cave in a dark place, like those things what have kept me sleepless nights, whether it's the teenagers or whether it's work or grief or those reality. He was in a cave in a dark place, but yet he knew his refuge. Now, this is a painting of kind of that peace in the storm. And there's a storm going on and there's water crashing down, but it says peace. Has anybody put your hand up if you've seen this picture? You know this picture? No, you don't. Oh, it's a well-known picture. Well, if you look really carefully, you can see, I'm going to get it closer, a little bird resting. It's a bit closer up there. There he is in his nest. Peace in a storm. The image of a bird sheltering his young beneath its wings speaks of that protection, the warmth, the safety. Our storms can rage outside, but there is peace knowing that God has you. Rest, Psalm verse 1, he rests under his wings. David could rest in God, it says in that psalm, because he rests under the wings of his God. Sleep, knowing God is watching over us. It goes on, Psalm 57, verse 2 to 3. I cry out to God Most High. He sends from heaven and he saves me. Now, when you have a sleepless night, me, I don't know about other people, I am replaying things that are going over in my mind all the time. going over and over. What should I have said that? I should have said that. And it keeps me awake. What David has done, he has, instead of looking inward, he starts to look high. He directs his thoughts, God Most High. He's in a tunnel, he's in a cave, but he's looking up, even though it would be all dark, but he looks up because he says, I cry out to God Most High, and he sends from heaven and he saves me. Now, I read that so many times in so many different versions because it said, he sends from heaven. And I'm like, well, what are you sending? What are you sending, God? He sends. It's like as if it's missing a word. So I was thinking, oh, maybe it's not in the message. Maybe the message went through all of it. And he says, he sends from heaven. What's he sending? He saves me. So I had to be dead clever and get the books out. He sends from heaven. The Hebrew, God sends. This is, I don't know why I put myself in front of people trying to pronounce these. I'm going to say it wrong, so I apologize. Hesed, which means loyal love. Emet, unshakable truth and reality. That, the Hebrew, God sends, means loyal love, unshakable truth and reality. God is loyal love, and he sends truth and reliability. We can shift our focus from horizontal to vertical. And instead of staring at ourselves at the problem, rehearsing the bad news, nursing our lack of resources, not sleeping, we can disperse them by learning from verse 2. Stop looking at the cave walls, but starting to look up. When you look up to compare what you're going through to the size of God Most High, it breaks tunnel vision, a cave mentality. Looking up is a physical posture of surrender. Its admission says, I can't fix this. And you free up space to receive love, the hesed, and emet, the truth. In the cave, you're trapped. You're alone, and it ends here. But heaven tells us, I'm not done with your story. The cave is not your final destination. So Psalm 57, verse 1, we can rest because we know God is protecting us under his wings. We can sleep knowing God is watching over us. Psalm, sleep him. In Psalm 57, 7-9, speaks, awake my soul, and I will awaken the dawn to praise you. Throughout the Psalms, David is talking to God, but in verse 8, he directs the talking to himself, and he says, awake my soul. David isn't asking God to wake him up. He's commanding his own soul. Now remember, David isn't in that place of in a palace or in a green pastures. He's in a dark cave in one of the darkest seasons of his life. He's saying, my body may be tired, my circumstances may be difficult. And we've already read he's at rest in God and he can sleep knowing that God is watching over him. However, David knew he had to speak to his soul not to drift into spiritual sleep. Remember, what is sleep right at the beginning? Sleep is a natural state of rest where the body is inactive and the mind is mostly unconscious. We can fall into a trap of when we're in that dark place of feeling into a spiritual sleep. As Christians, we can fall into that. But David says, I will awaken the dawn. In effect, he's saying, the dawn isn't going to wake me. It's dark. Can't do that. There's no daylight in the cave. So I am going to wake it in me. We all identify, well, I do, that we've been physically tired. But David is speaking to himself. David chose to praise God despite fear, despite tough times, despite grief or loss, despite being inactive, all those tough times that could have made him numb or hopeless. David was in a cave, hunted by Saul, yet instead of giving in to fear, he called to his soul to be awakened. Now, whenever Adrian speaks, I always say to him, that's lovely, darling, but practical. What does that mean for me? Because there's me right at the very beginning. I've had them sleepless nights, as you've identified we do. And we have that. And that spiritual passivity of falling into sleep because you don't want to do things because you've... Where's God in this? I don't want to speak. However, we can awaken my soul by... How do I awaken my soul? When we're in this dark place, remembering those psalms, because he gives sleep to his beloved. You are his beloved. He loves you. I can lie down and sleep and wake again because I know God will sustain me. I will lie down in sleep, for God makes me dwell in safety. I have to say, in front of everybody, that we have probably gone through the darkest days of our lives, and I will never get out of the mind what we witnessed in October. However, observing my daughter is probably the proudest thing, because I know she does all of that. She knows that her God has her. She knows her God is with her. And she says the biggest thing that she knows, that God is for her, and she knows her destination. And I have learned as a mum, because I have cried out, why? Why? But as Hannah will remind me, God has us. God has us. This has been a reality to me, the Psalms. That is my life at the moment, it feels. But I know that I am safe under his wings. So I encourage you, whatever you're going through, Psalm 57, you can rest because you are under his wings. You can sleep because you know God is watching you. But I urge you not to be spiritually asleep, but awaken your soul to God. Awaken who God is. Awaken to the fact that God has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life, not to harm you, but to give us a hope and the future. That's what the Bible says. And we should be awake to the things of God, because he has a great plan and a destination for us. Now, it was beautiful, Ruth, how you ended yours with a song. I haven't got a song. And you know what? Well done me for not doing Disney. I am speaking, however, I mean, back to school service, so I'll be back into... This is a grown-up sermon, this is, isn't it? No pictures or people helping me. Grown-up, no videos. I was actually going to do Beauty and the Beast and the Kids and the Video, but I thought, no, discipline yourself, Helen, or else I'll be known... I can just imagine on my eulogy, Disney, not the Bible, but yeah, there we go. But I would like us to stand. To me, when I've heard lots of sermons, as I know a lot of you have, but there's something wonderful when somebody prays with you. There's something wonderful can happen, that transformation. You know, with the Beauty and the Beast, that whole picture of the ugly beast. If you see me in the morning, I mean, I've got my hair curly, that's never a good sign. But beast is really beast in the morning, especially when I've not slept. But that transformation comes when Belle comes and she loves him very much. You are loved so much by God, so much. And no matter what you face, God's going to love you. No matter your reaction, God is big enough for questions. God is big enough for your questions. He's still going to love you. But the one thing we can't do is be spiritually asleep. We've just seen that video of the persecution in Africa. There's reality. There's reality. We went on a prayer walk with our life group around the streets. There are so many people that need God right now. So many people. You know, we can get caught up in our little world, but there's so much, the world's bigger than that. And God said he loves the world. The same love that he loves us, he loves other people, and we've got it, so we need to share that. So I'm going to ask you to awaken your soul. And if that's practically, if that's going to be reading a psalm, how do we do it? Getting in a life group, coming to church. This is a good thing to awaken your soul. To think, God, what do you want for me? It might be a renewal. But I'm going to pray. But if you want to lift your hands, you can. If you want to put your hands on your heart, whatever's comfortable for you. But I'm going to pray for you and for myself. That no matter if you feel if you're in that cave, there's a lot of anxiety. And my gosh, the young people, like I was there as well, I was 17 on my own. I remember being in that place and being really scared. Probably could have had to do my own washing and stuff. But now these young people have got this thing that they'll scroll through and think that they've got better lives. Other people have got better lives than them or other things that are going on in their mind. We need to pray for our young people because that's not easy. It can't be easy because that's not reality on Instagram, is it? It really isn't. It's not reality. But there are people we need to pray. We need to awaken our soul to the things of God because God has a plan and a purpose for our life, the destiny in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the worship team. I thank you for the leadership team. I thank you for that. But God, I thank you for every single person in this church because this is the church. We are the church. And I pray, Father God, that we will be living, we'll be awake, spiritually awake as a church. That God, you will open our eyes to the things, the destiny that you have for us. I pray, Father God, there'll be no lids or limitations on our lives, that we won't put them on it. Media won't put it on it. Other people, our words won't put on limitations on our life. But God, you would release an awakening in our church for the things of you. God, help us to look up just like David did. To look up rather than look in. To Father God, to look up heaven destiny. God, my prayer is each one of us will take our loved ones up in heaven. That Father God, those that we meet wouldn't have that chance to meet you. God, do a great thing. We cry out to you. Send from heaven. God, save us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you so much. Enjoy the sunshine.